Here's Darren Dreger at TSN Hockey Insider. Is that true? Can you confirm that, Dregs, that Philip Anschutz, like, owns the resort you guys were staying at in Georgia?
Yeah, that's a good scoop. He was there front and center, and he's a bit of a recluse, to be fair. Like, you don't often see him. Not that we swing the same social circles by any stretch, but he did buy the Sea Island Resort, and whether or not he owns all of it, or the place that we were staying at, which is called the Cloister, mm-hmm. or not, I'm not sure, but it is, O-Dog's right. Like, the weather was terrible. It was cool, and it was sunny yesterday, so it was livable yesterday, but there were probably 3-4 tornado warnings Sunday and Monday, so there was a bit of a nasty stretch that went through there, but if you like to golf, if you like to fish, that's a pretty cool place to hang out, I think.
I mean, that resort, Dregs, there's like, there's five different restaurants, kind of cocktail bars, like you don't even have to leave the resort. I don't even know if you did, but you don't have to.
Now, we did last night. We went to a place called Krabby Daddy's for a big mess of crab, but that was it. And we spent Sunday, Monday, and a good chunk of yesterday just at the resort.
So was this just all about Seattle, or did anything else come out of the couple of days down there?
Nah, pretty much all Seattle. I mean, there's always a salary cap projection, and that was on Monday where they projected, you know, the 2019-2020 salary cap likely around $83 million. So that's a bit of a bonus. It helps general managers, you know, piece together their rosters in time for next season. But, you know, aside from that, really all it is business presentation after business presentation. George Parris and Department of Player Safety was there. So he did a presentation, but, you know, the primary reason was to shepherd Seattle into the National Hockey League. What was noteworthy and interesting, and I didn't count owner by owner, but I guess that there was maybe 50% of the actual owners were there. They just send their representatives. And the reason is it's not an easy place to get to. So I just thought, in light of the fact that they clearly were voting Seattle in for 2021, that there'd be more actual owners on hand, but there wasn't.
Now, getting a sense, we know they got voted in, but just the people that you talked to, was everyone excited about it? Was this a slam dunk, or were there a little bit of blowback and pushback?
No. Everyone is fairly excited by it. I mean, there seemed to be a bit of a buzz around the resort, and, you know, I'll give those guys credit. You know, again, when you look at the heavyweights behind this Seattle expansion, you're talking about David Bonderman, who, you know, is one of the world's better investment guys. You know, he's worth, what, 11, 12 billion, something, or actually it's probably 3 or 4. I'm thinking of Anschutz, who's in that 11, 12 billion territory. You know, Jerry Bruckheimer's got lots of money. He's part of ownership. Tim Leiwicki wasn't there because I think he's in Seattle for groundbreaking, but his brother Todd, who's a high-ranking executive with Seattle, he was there. I mean, they had probably 30, 40 people in Sea Island for this unveiling. So they did a nice job of making sure that everybody knew how excited they were.
Dregs, if you're Seattle, like, don't you go right to one guy, and that's Kelly McCrimmon, who is the assistant GM with Vegas and who has been through this process? I mean, I'm not sure Kelly would want to go through it again, but wouldn't you think, man, he just did it? Like, let him go through the league again and let him be the guy to do it for our team? Isn't that the most sensible choice?
Seems like a no-brainer to me, oh. I mean, Kelly McCrimmon is going to be an NHL general manager. You know, and we talked about this on one of our many hits yesterday. You know, what sort of experience are they looking for in Seattle? If I were ownership, I would want the guy that just went through it. I mean, if you're not willing to eat, sleep, and breathe scouting not just NHL teams, but their affiliate teams, their prospects, all of that. George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon split the league 15 teams and 15 teams when they went through it. And these guys traveled extensively around North America and into Europe, you know, looking at all kinds of prospects and drafted players and whatnot. So McCrimmon knows firsthand how hard it is and everything that you have to do. So he's going to have a leg up. But not only that, all the horse trading that went into, well, don't take this guy. You know, if you stay away from this guy, I'll give you this guy type of thing, or I'll sweeten it with another draft pick. I mean, That's valuable commodity exchanging. So I'd be shocked if he wasn't a front runner. And I, you know, we throw Kenny Holland's name out there. It feels like a long shot because Kenny's been in Detroit his entire career, but his contract expires, you know, after after next season. So I wouldn't be surprised if Kenny's got one more real big kind of push, you know, in his life to try and get something going there. And he's from, you know, he's from the Pacific region, so I think he'd be excited to get involved.
With Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. Obviously, the meetings took place past U.S. Thanksgiving, and whenever that date comes up, we take a look at the standings, and more often than not, 80% of the teams that are in are going to be in come the end of the season, and there's going to be four or five that probably knew it well in advance. That would include the team here in Toronto. The Leafs are going to the playoffs unless something catastrophic happens. Right. Tampa's going. I think Nashville's going. Feel pretty good about Winnipeg getting there. Down at the Board of Governors, I know the GMs aren't kicking around, but at what point do you see one of these big dogs who know that they've got cup aspirations and it's legit, they start looking at making a trade?
Yeah, I think it's a little early for that, Brian, because, you know, you haven't fully established yet who the sellers are. And I mean, it's pretty obvious when you look at the standings and, you know, you see a team like the Los Angeles Kings, they're not going to rebound. But I think that Rob Blake, Mike Fiuta and company, they want to make sure that they can identify what their core is looking like moving forward. And, you know, maybe Jake Muzzin is a part of that core. His name has been, you know, thrown out there in trade speculation over the last few weeks. Well, if Jake Muzzin is in play, then there's going to be a captive audience. There are going to be teams that are, you know, going to want to get in that discussion. So there's a bit of a transition period that probably is going to take place here, you know, for the next 20 games or so. And then you creep up to February 25th, and teams pull back a little bit because they want to make sure that they're getting a premium return. You could see some lower-end stuff. I know the Anaheim Ducks are very much still in the market for a left-shot defenseman. You know, they prefer a second-pairing guy with the Cam Fowler injury, but maybe they'd settle on a third-pairing guy. So I think that kind of stuff is going to float around for the next few weeks.
That's what I don't like about the game right now, Dregs. I was on Cap Friendly and going through LA's. I was just trying to do some work on something else, and I was thinking to myself, like, if you're the LA Kings, whether it's a Jeff Carter or Muzzin or somebody, you're kind of thinking, it's great, you got me two cups, but I wouldn't mind moving away from this guy now to kind of change the culture and switch things up, and teams are just locked into guys. I thought Jeff Carter might have had like 1 or 2 years left. He's got like 4 or 5 years left.
Or he signed a 12-year deal.
Yeah, it's a crazy contract, and it's like to be locked into that and not really like it. And you talk about it all the time, create excitement for your team. Transactions, they just don't happen.
No, they don't. And it's too bad because, you know, if we want to dial down on Jeff Carter, there, you know, he's still a game left. He's going to help somebody. Boston Bruins are looking for that type of player, an experienced guy who's won, who, you know, kind of helps balance what they've got in youth. And, you know, from the LA standpoint, the Boston Bruins have good young forwards that seem to fit what LA might be looking for in a transaction. But how does Boston make a deal like that?
No, they
can't. Absorbing that type of contract. You can't. And, you know, Carl Alzner is another one in Montreal. I mean, the Montreal Canadiens have depth on defense. Alzner, you know, is immovable, which is why he's in the American League, and he's not playing in the National Hockey League, because if there had been a team that had some interest in something that he can do that's unique, he'd have been traded. But he's just having a so-so blah type of year, and that contract makes him an immovable object. So that's really what bogs these things down.
Well, I hope something spices up, but you're right. I mean, when you look at the salary cap, because in the East, you can still make cases for almost every team being within striking distance. Even Jersey, you know, they're 6 points out. They catch a heater, they're back in the mix. They were a playoff team last year. Ottawa doesn't have their pick, so they don't want to start selling guys off.
Right.
But you look at West, LA, Vancouver, St. Louis, Chicago, they're done. They're not making the playoffs. Like, they're not good enough. So, you know, it just comes down to finding a fit in the salary
cap. Well, imagine looking at it and saying, okay, let's go get them next year, same team.
Well, exactly, yeah. Right? But you can't do it because of what we just detailed.
Well, you are doing it, and you got to suck it up. It sucks.
Yeah. Well, and then look, St. Louis is interesting because, you know, last week I reported that St. Louis was eyeballing Jimmy Howard. Well, now the Red Wings are playing better, and their goaltending is a big part of the reason why they're playing better. And that makes things difficult from a Detroit standpoint. And then if you're Doug Armstrong, you know, how do you move out Robbie Thomas or Kyrou or any of your young coveted pieces if you think that this season's pretty much done anyway? So, you know, it just adds a whole other layer to the complication when it comes to making trades.
Yeah, and if you think Jimmy Howard's getting you out of a funk and putting you into the playoff picture, you're flat out nuts.
Yep, you're in trouble. Good stuff, Dregs. Welcome back home. We'll do it again later in the week.
Okay, guys. Have a good one.
There's Darren Dreger, a Hockey Insider.